Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
To the bread and butter issues, literally, should we bring in price caps for certain foods like bread and milk? This is what people before profit are calling for. Take a listen to the South Central TD and MEP candidate, Breed Smith. She was talking about this on Breakfast earlier.
More than one in four parents, 26%, in a Bernardo survey showed last November only that they did not have enough food to feed their children at some point last year. And we're not talking about luxury goods, we're talking about the basics. More than one in five children experienced enforced deprivation last year. Now, the companies like Musgraves and Supervalue and Tesco's, who are making vast profits, are being asked here with this bill to set a cap price on the very essentials that people need to be able to feed their children.
Michael Kelly is the founder of GIY, Grow It Yourself. Michael, do you think we should bring in price caps?
I don't, Andrea, and I suppose it's nice to talk to you again, by the way. Thanks for having me on. I'd have a slightly contrarian view, I think, here, which is that I think price caps, while they're, you know, it's really hard to argue against them, because obviously for families that are struggling to put food on the table, you know, it's obviously something that you'd, I think most people would support. But there's a bit of a problem with it, which I think is a kind of a longer term issue that we need to consider. And the best example of this is what's happened with the price of fruit and veg over the last sort of decade or so. So at basically, a lot of people will remember when the first sort of 49-cent veg promotions came into supermarkets. They started happening around Christmas time, first of all. And the way that these were sold by retailers to the veg producers was that this was about building the market for particular veg like broccoli and Brussels sprouts and so on, and that they'd be temporary. But what actually happened was, you know, they became semi-permanent, if not permanent, and they certainly like had the effect of permanently dropping the price of veg over a time period. And we spoke to Jim Power, the economist, on Food Matters about this, and he showed us a graph that shows the price of fruit and veg decreasing in that time. Now, that's great for consumers, fantastic. But what also happened at the same time is that the pressure that this put on food producers has put food producers out of business at a very serious scale. So Borbia spoke about the fact that at the turn of this century, there were about 400 field veg growers in Ireland, and there's now less than 60. So an 85% reduction in the number of food producers we have. So what that ultimately means, I suppose, is that the veg sector in Ireland is on its knees. It's close to collapse. And if we put price caps, further price caps on this, the supermarkets in some case will suck up those. And I know Breed's point about the profits being made and so on. But ultimately, they'll force price reductions onto veg producers, which will put more out of business. Now, you could ask, well, you know, what does that mean? We can just import cheaper ones from overseas. But I think most Irish consumers want, you know, Irish veg. They want the choice, at least, to have Irish veg on the shelves, because it's the most nutritious, it's the most delicious. And I think by doing this, there's a real risk that we'll collapse the veg sector. And I think, you know, it's slightly different when you're talking about dairy and bread and so on. I accept that. But at the moment, the last thing, a really, really struggling and very important veg sector that's producing fantastic food for us, that's really healthy, you know, really important for us for climate change and all sorts of other reasons, is also, you know, is on its knees, and there's jobs at a serious risk as well. And I know people before profit are very big about protecting workers. They need to consider the flip side of this as well.
Protecting workers. So in your fear, I suppose, Michael, is that in the effort to address the problems of those that are, and the number of people, and I think from the figures last year, it might have been the Bernardo survey, it was something in the region of about 20% of parents who said that they couldn't afford to buy food for their children, like to provide a decent, simple meal once a day, and we hear a lot about child poverty, and you put that in the mix then with grocery inflation. So while we're addressing maybe one problem with the implementation of price caps, we could be creating another.
Yes, exactly. And look, I completely accept it's a difficult discussion, because nobody wants to make food more expensive for people who are already struggling. But in reality, certainly, like, I'm here to fight the corner, I think, of the veg side of things, because they're already too cheap. Like, we know from speaking to farmers and food producers that they cannot put veg on the shelves for 49 cents a kilo for carrots and things like that. They're price takers from the retail sector, and that's why they're going out of business, and they're going out of business like at a huge scale, to the point that we won't have a veg sector if we don't protect it.
And yet we're trying to tell people to buy Irish in the same breath. I know people before Profit mentioned earlier today, like, the price of potatoes has jumped over, the price of that has jumped about 17%. Rice is up more than 10% as well. Michael, will you stay with us for a few moments? Because of a couple of other callers who are on the line and want to join in on this too. Eilish is with us in Connemara. Eilish, do you think we should bring in price caps on essential foods?
Yes, while I was listening to Michael there, and I do agree with him, you wouldn't want the food producers or the farmers to suffer, because I know over the years the farmers have said the milk price in the supermarkets doesn't show what they get for it, kind of thing. They get even less for it. But I do know, as a vanity and now as a grandmother as well, and I would be very wary of supermarket prices, I would shop around and stuff, that yes, there needs to be something there. There's no watchdog. They seem to be able to put up prices, down prices. Like, for example, just a pound of butter, shop brand butter, went up, shot from $2.39 to $3.99 at one stage during COVID and after COVID. Now it's dropped back down eventually to $2.99, but it's still a big chunk of money. And that's what, same with milk. Milk was at 75 cents a litre. It jumped to $1.35. They've brought it down to 105 now. And this is stuff that I see. And it's the same with rice, everything across the board, any staples. I just feel that the main supermarkets can do what they like. They can up them. They can do it twice a week if they feel like it, up and down. And nobody seems to be keeping an eye on them. And nobody from government or any organisation.
Can they though, Michael? Can they just decide today, do you know what, we'll hike up the price of the butter today?
Can decide, they can put the set the price at whatever level that they want. I feel like the, you know, what your caller is alluding to there, I think is a sort of a complexity in the food chain. So there's definitely some things where, you know, there's profits being made on individual products for sure, but then there's also real increases. So you mentioned, Andrea, the price of potatoes going up. Like, We know, for example, if you think about, it's rained nonstop since October of last year, so potato growers are also really struggling at the moment. There's a lack of supply, so I think you know, and that's down to climate change and the uncertainty that these big weather events bring us, and so on. So you know, in that particular situation, there's probably a very real reason why that price is going up, because of the lack of supply. It may not be the same. I can't speak to the issue with butter, but I think these are complex issues. So I do agree an ombudsman or someone to look at this is very important, because
it might help in terms of, and even, I suppose, too, to Eilish's point about kind of restoring confidence in the price that the consumers are being charged. Do you feel, Eilish, that you're being ripped off?
On some supermarket shops, I do. I really do. I look at prices and I think, oh, my Lord, kind of thing. I really do. They don't seem to take into account. They just seem to sit at a computer, I think, or something, and say, right, this is going up 50 cents today. You could come back tomorrow and be back down again. But this seems to be happening a lot. And that's across all main supermarkets now, the main four major ones anyway. I find that. And this thing with the likes of Tesco's or any of them saying price matching with Aldi and Lidl. I mean, why don't you price match? Why don't you just price it lower? Why do you have to price message anybody? Why does it have to be the same price as another competitor?
Okay.
Why don't you kind of give us sales or whatever? We're reducing this week or whatever.
Laura's on the line as well. Laura, have you noticed an increase in the price of your weekly shop?
Yeah, but I'm inclined to. Sometimes I'll budget from a point of, if you see something reduced, not everybody would like to do it, but you bring it home, i.e. a slice pan. If you don't use all of it, i.e. in 3 or 4 days, then divide it, freeze it. make a stir fry, get your veg in. You can stir fry, you know, whatever in bulk, if you want to call it that, and put it away, because people sometimes, there's a lot of waste. I have friends that won't eat bread after 2 or 3 days, whereas if you froze part of it, you know, it helps that way. And I think sometimes it's down to our own way of doing things. And I know the prices go up, down and every other way, but it's, I just, you just have to try and be thrifty, if that's the best way of saying it. You know, and I know the prices will go up. If the flour is dear in, I don't know, Europe or whatever, you know, external effects, that's going to affect here as well, irrespective of our own farming situation. But if you can try and grow your own bit of veg, which I've started to do.
Have you? Yeah. So, and in an effort because of the increases, Laura, is that why you've decided to do that?
Yeah, well, it's my own situation. I have to budget pretty tight. Okay. So I do that. And I just, there is a lot of people that, you know, they don't like to, it's like recycling or whatever word you want to call it, to be, you know, your own responsibility to try and, inverted commas, help the do your bit. But I definitely think if you freeze the bread, if you don't eat 5 slices of bread a day, well, then freeze it up, and it does work, and it doesn't taste rotten or anything unless you're particularly fussy.
Okay.
And the same with the stir fries or any, you can freeze a lot of food. I've even frozen milk, you know, and it does work if you want to give it a try. You know, or maybe if they could do some type of price freeze, you know, the our own farmers, say like in, I don't know, winter time when you use more potatoes and veg and stuff, that they could do a special on whatever month they pick, and that's the only month. And then, I don't know, people to help them in that way, you know?
Micheál Bennett is on the line, actually. Micheál might have a view on that, Laura, because Micheál's a beef and a dairy farmer. I assume you're against the idea of price caps, Micheál.
I wouldn't be in favour of them, to be honest with you. I have to give Michael, and he was Eilish there, your previous contributors, credit for their views on the matter, because Michael is bang on the money, especially when it comes to fruit and veg. That whole sector is absolutely devastated at the moment. The entire power of the market is concentrated by a handful of supermarkets. They can dictate the price day by day to those growers. And if those growers don't like the price, they'll just be replaced by imports. Simple as that. They know that they can get supplies from low-wage economies like Spain, like Morocco, South Africa, and they'll just swamp the Irish producers with cheap carrots if the Irish producers don't take the low, low prices.
So your hands are tied. You've no choice. You have to compete.
Yeah, you have to look at the Irish farmer is as competitive as anyone, but labour costs are high, fuel costs are high, capital, you name it, all our costs are high. And yet we manage to compete as best we can until the gauntlet is thrown down by the likes of supermarkets who just don't care. And I know at the moment, like back to my own sector, beef and dairy, we have some of the lowest cost production methods in Europe because of our, by the virtue of our grass-based production system. We still have the high labour costs and that, but we are blessed with our weather and our climate. So when it comes to beef and dairy production, we have an advantage. We're some of the one of the lowest cost production sectors in Europe for those products, and that is reflected in the supermarkets. And I think people kind of lose sight of the fact how cheap our food is, and then when the price does rise, people get a bit of a shock. You know, if something's rising from a very low base, an increase is very noticeable. Like, you go back to the 1980s, people spent 30% of their wages, or near 30% of the wages, on food. Mm. It's back down to, I think, 8% in 2021.
So are you just saying the price of the basics are too cheap anyway, as it is?
I'm not trying to make that point, because I do recognise that some people do struggle to make ends meet. And if those people are struggling, as they are, they need help from the social welfare sector. They need the social safety net to kick in to make sure that those people don't suffer, that they don't go hungry, that their children are well nourished.
So do you feel...
I think that's responsibility of the social welfare system to make sure
of the state,
that people aren't suffering. Because it's a race to the bottom. And if we keep driving farmers out of business, ultimately the whole economy and our entire food sector will suffer. So it's a case of, you have to have a standard there. You have to ensure that our standards that we meet are some of the highest in the world for quality and environmental environmental measures. So even
do you feel, just for a moment, Micheál, do you feel that you're kind of being left to burden really what is effectively a kind of a an issue for social welfare to deal with, or the, for the government to deal
with? I would think so. Like in other countries, I think across Europe, food poverty rates are broadly similar to here. Yet, if you go to like Denmark, their food price, the share of people's wages spent on food is near 14%. It's much, much higher than here. But yet somehow their food poverty rates are the same. It's just a case that food has to be paid for. Someone has to pay for it. Farmers do their best with the price they get. But like you can't, with the best will in the world, you can't keep losing money forever.
Listener here has got in touch to say, I was in Tesco recently. I spotted a loaf of bread, 70 cent. Good food in this country. It's very cheap, so I feel parents have no excuse. Jean has got in touch to say price caps on essentials is a bonkers idea. It would make a lot more sense on a macro level to tax unhealthy food and then use this to fund an Irish grower's incentive, according to Jean. The real reason why we have runaway inflation, according to Declan, is due to the housing cost and energy costs. Dealing with the systems will not cure the problem. If these two costs were tackled, then nobody would be struggling for the price of basic food. Rosemary is with us on the line. Rosemary, do you think we need price caps? And I'm talking now about essential foods today.
Yeah, well, I think, as all the other speakers have said, that supermarkets have really undervalued and destroyed good food, because people, I think that the unhealthy food, as one other listener said, should be taxed to the hilt to discourage people from buying it, because we've an obesity problem here. It's not the healthy food that's causing the obesity, it's the unhealthy food. And yet, it's the unhealthy food that people are drawn to, and then they ignore the good food. They say it's too expensive because the unhealthy food is too cheap. And I grew up on a farm. We had our own cows. We had butter. We had potatoes. I know the value of good food. And I think nowadays a lot of people don't, because it's been undervalued by the supermarkets with lost leaders. And I mean, here in Wexford, the farmers can't even sow potatoes at the moment with the weather. Then people expect potatoes to be cheap, and the imports then come in and people complain the potatoes aren't nice, but because they're not being grown in Ireland. And I just feel that if it tackled the obesity problem, if the unhealthy food was taxed higher and the healthy food was kept at an affordable price, and yet the producers were getting a good price.
A fair price as well. I suppose when you look at the child poverty figures, you know, and the number of people who will openly admit, Rosemary, that they just cannot afford to feed their children, a meal, not even like an essential, decent meal once a day, but even struggling to do it twice a week. That's probably why there's really no motivation, I imagine,
The scary thing is the amount of food that has been wasted by people who buy too much and throw it out. And then there's people who would love that food. I know the food cloud helps those people, but just there's not joined up thinking at all. You know what I mean? It's just it's promoting the unhealthy food, and people then go for that because they can't afford the healthier food.
It's cheaper.
Food.
Yeah, and look at
and the obesity problem then, I mean, their health is affected. And, you know, if you throw away an apple, for example, it's going to disintegrate into the ground. If you throw away a can of Coke, it's going to sit there for years, and yet the Coke is cheaper nearly than the apple.
It's a fair point. Listeners got in touch as well on that. It's not long ago, your bar of chocolate was €1.20. Then it went to €1.35, then €1.50, also hiked up to €1.80. And now, many bars of chocolate, I'm told, €2. How is this justified? Asks this listener. Another texter says the farmers are underpaid. The consumer is still overpaying. So it's obvious the supermarkets are the ones gobbling up the profits. Keep your thoughts coming into us today. Do you think we need price caps on essential foods? We're talking about your bread, milk, potato, rice. I see an increase in frozen veg as well. That is up over 10% according to the figures before people before profit today. It's 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.